Okay, thank you everybody for being here this Saturday evening. Thanks to Veena Mataji and Jai Kishan Prabhu and the whole family for hosting today's special Bhakti Vriksha. Thanks to Rakesh Prabhu and Shali Mataji for flying all the way from Philadelphia to celebrate Krisha's second birthday with us. And thanks to all of you for attending the program. Everybody can move forward. One more request. This is maybe fourth request. Countdown is going on. By the end of the program, we will have at least 10 requests. So everybody move forward. So everybody align up with Malati Mataji now.
Hare Krishna.
Nobody should be hiding on the other side. So kids can stay in the class. So this is birthday special Bhakti Vriksha. Even though we'll be talking our regular Bhagavad Gita class, but we'll kind of bring in the theme of kids' birthday as kids' growth in Krishna consciousness, and especially as a birthday, the receiving and giving of gifts. So it aligns with our topic we were discussing from Bhagavad Gita. So anybody remember what verses we covered last time? Which verses we covered last time? Of course, who come in regular program, so they will know. Quick. Chapter 3. Text 9 to 11. So that is what we covered last time. So today we'll keep it maybe short, and we'll take maybe next couple of verses only. And the next two verses, chapter 3, text 12 and 13, the very, very important verses, and my favorite in one sense. So, very important verses. So, we'll continue our discussion from that point, and we'll begin with invocation prayer. Namo Vishnupadaya Vishnaprishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurahatye Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Okay, so once again, welcome and thank you for being here. So we'll last time we read text 9, 10 and 11. So here Krishna is explaining in the beginning of creation, when all the species of life were created, along with that, he created all the Devi Devatas. So he sent forth all the demigods along with various species of life, along with the performance of Yajna. So by performance of Yajna, The demigods will be pleased and they will supply all the necessities of life. So they will provide all the gifts we need in our life. So the next verse will continue from text 12. So I'll recite the verse. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva.
Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva.
Dasyante yagya bhavitah.
Dasyante yagya bhavitah.
Teir dattan apradhebhyo.
Teir dattan apradhebhyo.
Yo bhungte stena eva saha.
Yo bhungte stena eva cha.
Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva.
Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva.
Dasyante yagya bhavitah.
Dasyante yagya bhavitah.
Teir dattan apradhebhyo.
Teir dattan apradhebhyo.
Yo bhungte stena eva saha.
Yo bhungte stena eva saha.
In charge of various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yagya, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. It's a very strong verse. Krishna uses very strong words here. Yo bhungte stena eva saha. Who tries to enjoy for themselves without acknowledging the higher power who is providing all these resources, he is definitely a thief. Who likes to be called as a thief? Nobody likes to be called as thief. So here Krishna is saying, without acknowledging, if somebody is trying to enjoy, he is definitely a thief. So last time, so just building on to our discussion or the thought process from last time. So we said, there is a one process is called, which is sublimative to the natural process. And the other process is manipulative. Right? Either we abide by the authority or we try to twist around, do what we want to do. And we discuss few examples. Supplication is, what is the example of supplication? Couple of examples we discussed last time. So supplication is, let's say you are building the subdivision and we want the electricity, the power line, the water line to come to the subdivision. So you go request the government to provide the water line, the electricity line to this new subdivision. So abide by the process, abide by the authorities. That is supplication. Manipulation is just connect. Some water line is going, some electricity line is going. You put your connection and bring it to your home. So that is manipulation. Now another example is very famous these days. Lot of hype going on around that. GMO. What is that? Genetically modified foods. So that is what? Manipulation. So supplication is whatever is provided in nature, in a natural way, all the ingredients, all the fruits and vegetable, accepting that in that way, or we think, oh, I am more intelligent. So I will modify this, make it look bigger, make it more attractive. So that is manipulation. So we try to manipulate what is given to us by God in the nature. So Krishna is saying, who try to enjoy without acknowledging the higher authority is a thief. So now it is like the reciprocation for achieving or for gaining something, like the system of tax payment. If somebody, so even though you are getting water, electricity, everything from government, you pay your bills, still on top of that you have to pay your taxes, your property tax, which include all these various things. And you, even if you buy something from the market, you pay the price of that item, on top of that you have to pay the sale tax. So you are paying that tax and you are paying your yearly income tax. If you don't pay that income tax, what will you be called? A tax thief. Right? Somebody who is stealing the tax money. So that is tax thief. Even though you are paying your bills, still on top of that, you are supposed to pay the taxes. So here, what Krishna is saying, all these gifts are given to us in nature. Water, air, light, food, the lumber, all these things are given to us in nature. And we are not even paying the bill also for that. So what Krishna is saying, in reciprocation, if we just pay our taxes to the universal government, so it's like paying our taxes to the universal government for gaining all these natural resources, the gifts of nature. Everybody has heard the concept of tax evasion versus tax concession. Anybody familiar with this term? What is tax evasion and versus what is tax concession?
You're not giving any taxes at all. Concession is the authority gives you some leeway.
Right. So, tax evasion is you basically just don't pay the tax. You steal that tax. Right? And tax concession, what is tax concession is? It's a legal way of reducing your amount of tax. Let's say you earn some X amount of income and you put some Y amount of income in some funds which is tax exempt. So you are not going to pay taxes on that money which you set aside as some maybe 401k or your retirement saving plan or some other bonds or funds. So you get a tax concession based on that. So same way what Krishna is saying, you don't have to pay the actual price of all these resources we are getting in nature. But just, so he is giving a concession, just acknowledge the higher authorities who are providing all these gifts. There was a scientific research done, University of Maryland. Actually, it's a published paper, University of Maryland, 1997. So it's almost 20 years back. So what the researchers did, they calculated the amount of like water, air, light, So they did water, air, lumber, and the food, the grains we get from nature. If we have to give the bill, if we have to pay the bill for all these natural resources, anybody has any idea how much will that be on a yearly basis for one country, let's say for United States, how much that bill is? $16 trillion to $54 trillion per annum, just for air, water, lumber, grains, the food.
What is the lumber?
Wood.
Wood.
So build your house. Here all the houses are wooden houses. So you use so much wood. So that bills run into trillions. Who has that much money to pay to the universal government? So what Krishna is saying, don't worry about paying the actual bill. Just pay the taxes. And what is that taxes? That is the system of performing yajna. So performance of yajna, we discussed last time, yajna means it's an activity also and it is a principle. What is the principle of yajna?
Sacrifice.
So you are sacrificing, acknowledging the higher authority. Isn't it just very fair thing actually to acknowledge if you are receiving from somebody to acknowledge that? This, thank you, you gave me this thing. So for example, now birthday, when you go to somebody's birthday, and you take the gift for the child, what does the child tell you when you give the gift? Thank you for giving me this gift. So just any small thing, somebody comes to your home, somebody gives something, even a candy or a lollipop to the child, what do you say? Beta, did you say thank you? Say thank you to uncle. Right? So that is the cultivation we try to give to the kids, that you should acknowledge, you should say at least thank you if somebody gives you something. And what about all the gifts we are getting from nature, from all the universal administrators who are providing all these gifts to us? Before coming to Krishna consciousness, did we have this concept of acknowledging and saying at least thank you? So this is the concept of acknowledging. So this Krishna is speaking from the Karmakanda point of view. But if we relate it even to our bhakti also, so how we can apply this concept in devotional service also? It's basically acknowledging whatever we have received. So when we try to progress in spiritual life, somebody is doing various things for us. Somebody is guiding us how to progress in Krishna consciousness. For example, Prabhupada gave us all these scriptures. He brought all these scriptures in the Western world. All these various devotees who are doing the preaching activities to make us understand those scriptures, who are connecting us with the deities to be able to render service to the deities. So it is just our duty to acknowledge what we are receiving from somebody and being thankful for that. Otherwise, what Krishna says, if somebody try to utilize it for himself, what is he? Jo bhungte stena eva saha. He is just a thief. And now, in purport, Prabhupada mentions, actually, everybody is supposed to perform 5 yajnas, the Panch Mahayagya. And that Panch Mahayagya is necessary for everybody to perform. So what is this Panch Mahayagya in life? The Panch Mahayagya. So this Panch Mahayagya actually relates our reciprocation to 5 different entities. So this Panch Mahayagya, these are the Deva Yagya, our acknowledging the demigods for their what they are providing. Brahma Yagya, which is our reciprocation to the sages, for them, for who have provided all these scriptures to us. So Deva Yagya, Brahma Yagya, then Pitri Yagya, giving in reciprocation to the Pitras, ancestors. Bhuta Yagya, giving something to the other living entities. Other living entity means even the birds, the ants, the various species of life. So Bhuta Yagya, and then Manushya Yagya. So Manushya Yagya relates to receiving the guest. So if sometime guests come, to receive the guest, to feed the guest, so it is kind of giving as a sacrifice while receiving the guest. So these are the 5 different yajna everybody is supposed to perform. So that's why earlier when people, so for performing Bhuta Yajna, what is that means is, you spread out some grains on your patio or something, so birds can come and take those grains, or you keep some water for the birds. Manushya Yagya already mentioned receiving the guest, so feeding or serving the guest basically. Pitra Yagya, giving the pin to the ancestors. Deva Yagya is the concept of performing this sacrifice. And Brahma Yagya is reading the scriptures. So even in Bhakti Yoga, in our Krishna consciousness, the Brahma Yagya at least everybody is following. We are supposed to read scriptures, we are reading Bhagavad Gita, that is kind of performing Brahma Yagya, right? Reading the scriptures, trying to understand the scriptures. So I still remember in my childhood time, so in the olden time, people will do some part of this actually in their day-to-day activity. So when they cook food, so the first chapati, so they will take out the first chapati for whom?
Cow.
For cow. So Mataji still remember. And then last chapati maybe they keep for the dog. The middle one is for themselves. Right? So that concept was there. So that is what? Bhuta Yagya. So giving to the other living entities. So all these, what does this do? In one sense, it's a karmakanda activity. It brings pious karma. So sometimes people go to some sadhu baba or somebody and say, oh, you feed some to ants. Right, you put some flour to the ants. What is that? That is Bhuta Yagya. At least giving something as a sacrifice to the other living entities. Or they will say, put the machliyon ko aata khilao. Right? So that kind of things are there. So what does that do? Does it in one sense is a completely spiritual activity. It may not be a completely spiritual level activity, but it is a pious activity in one sense, to bring some good karma, to eradicate some effect of your sinful reaction by acknowledging or by sacrificing something for the others. But now in our culture, are we still able to perform all these various yajna? In Kali Yuga, it's not possible. So once some disciple in the very early days, when Prabhupada came to West, one new family, they like Prabhuji and Mataji, they got married. And they asked Prabhupada, as a grihastha, what is our duty? So Prabhupada said, before you eat, you go to your door and call out, if somebody is hungry, please come and eat food. So you feed to somebody before you eat, as a grihastha. So follow that dharma. And now imagine today's world, especially in India, if you go out and call, please come whoever is hungry, maybe the whole city will come. So how to manage that? So somebody gave a very practical example or practical solution. He said, so calling out, come please take food, whoever is hungry, may not be practical, but at least keep out or keep aside something to feed at least one person. So accumulate that much on a monthly basis, whatever you accumulate. So you can go to some place where they offer the bhoga to the Lord and serve to others. So you can give out that to that place. So they will feed the other people there. So you perform your yajna in that way. So we'll read the next verse also and try to combine these together, the concept. Yajna shishti nah santo muchyante sarva kilbishah bhunjate te tva agham papa ye pachanti atmakaranat. Yajna shishti nah santo muchyante sarva kilbishah bhunjate te tva agham papa ye pachanti atmakaranat. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sin because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Again, very strong verse. And it has a connection with the previous verse. So let me read the translation one more time. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sin because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So sometimes people say, oh, I'm a vegetarian. See, I'm a vegetarian. So being just a vegetarian is not the solution to the real problem. Monkeys are also vegetarian. So just being vegetarian doesn't solve the problem, because the vegetables, they also have life. And if we use those vegetables, pluck those vegetables, you are taking life away. So that still include, in one sense, a sinful activity. And here Krishna is himself clearly saying, who is eating, cooking for himself for personal enjoyment, he is eating sin only. So what is the solution? So Krishna says, who offer in sacrifice and take the remnants of that sacrifice, who eat the food offered to the Lord, they are freed from all the sins. So why Krishna had to add the first part? Sometimes people take only the second part. You know what is the funny part in the second part, what they take? Say, Krishna is saying, who is cooking for himself for personal enjoyment, he is eating sin only. So I will go eat in the restaurant. See, I am not cooking myself. See, I am not cooking. Somebody is cooking. I am just eating. He is taking the sin. I am not taking the sin. So that is not the solution. That's why Krishna is saying in the first part, who eats the food offered to the Lord, he is freed from the sinful reaction.
Some of the Indian hotels they offer.
Not Indian hotels, maybe some devotee restaurants.
No, I have seen they have a small deity photo and they offer it.
Yeah, they may do something, they may offer to some particular Devi Devata.
Yes.
Right? So that is also, we have to understand. So we'll discuss that part also. Coming to that point. So here, actually, the word used, Yajna Shishta Ashino. Yajna Shishta. What is the meaning of Yajna Shishta? The remnants of Yajna. So whatever is left after performing the Yajna. Asino, somebody eats that. So somebody eats the food after performing the yajna, the remnants of yajna. Muchyante sarva kilbisha. He is freed from the sinful reaction. Coming to that point. Bhunjate te tva agham papaha. Bhunjate. The meaning of bhunjate is also eat. See, the meaning of asino is also eat. And bhunjate is also eat, if you just go English translation. Both words meaning is eat, but there is a big difference, day and night difference. Ashino means the prasad, eating the prasad, the remnants of yajna. Bhunjate means eating the bhoga, without first offering to the Lord, just eating for your enjoyment. Bhunjate tetvam agha papa pachyante atmakaranat. Now, here the word santa. Krishna uses the word santa. So the santa, Prabhupada translates as the devotee of the Lord whose consciousness is completely fixed on Krishna. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions one reference from Brahma Samhita. He says, Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. So this is the definition of santa. What is, who is santa? Sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. In his heart, who is always fixed in on Krishna. That is a santa. Santa is not just, okay, some saffron clothes or somebody. Who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. That is a santa. So such devotee, he always offer first to the Lord and then takes the prasad. And be freed from all the sinful reaction. So now coming back to the concept of yajna, in the olden days, people used to cook on wood fire, or what do you call as chula. Thank you. Right, so chula, that chula is some wooden thing, clay, made of clay, and you put fire or coal in, wood or coal in that, and you cook on that. And what they do, before they start cooking, what they do is, so they burn up the fire, they put some flour, some rice or spoon of ghee in that. What that become? That become a yajna. And then after doing that activity, then they cook their food. So it's all become a yajna. And even before eating, people used to put the plate in front of them, fold their hands and at least pay respect or say thanks to the Lord for providing all this food. So that is acknowledgement for giving everything to us. Now, that chula is gone. It's either the electric stove or the gas stove. And even all these houses. If you put some flour or some ghee in the fire before cooking, what will happen? It will give just smoke. And your fire alarm will go on. So people say, we cannot do that activity anymore. Or people even don't have the concept of that, first of all. And if they wanted to do, they cannot do. What to speak of putting the ghee in the fire before start cooking, people are afraid of offering incense to the Lord sometime. Once I was talking to my colleague in office. Said, oh, I don't come to temple. He said, then at least you can do something at your home. You can offer the incense or the lamp to the Lord. So no, I cannot offer incense. Once I tried and there was some smoke and my fire alarm went off. So people are so afraid just offering an incense also. I never had any experience just offering incense and fire alarm will go off. It's just an excuse for not doing anything. We come up with all these various excuses. So, how we can perform our, or kind of switch our consciousness for our day-to-day activities in relation to this concept of yajna. So it is just a switch of consciousness. Right? It doesn't take much. It is a switch of consciousness. So for example, you go to market and if you see nice fruit, oh, nice grapes. So now it depends on the consciousness. Looking at something, if you think in your mind, oh, such a nice fruit, let me buy and enjoy it. What does that become? In Krishna's word, agham papam. And if you think, oh, such nice fruit, let me buy and offer it to Krishna, what is become? Yajna. Same way you see nice flower. So there's nice flower in your garden or at the store, you see a nice flower bouquet. If your consciousness is, oh, such nice flower, let me buy and offer it to Krishna, make a garland for Krishna, what it becomes? A yajna. But if your somebody's consciousness is, oh, such nice flower, let me buy and give it to my girlfriend or my wife as a token, what it becomes? Agham papam. So we are just using the two words which Krishna has mentioned in this verse. Right? Either yajna shishta, either you use it as a yajna shishta, the remnants of the yajna, or you try to enjoy without offering to the Lord, which is agham papam. So it's just a switch of consciousness. And in Kali Yuga, if we cannot perform all these various sort of yajna, the best possible yajna, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to us is Sankirtan Yajna. So just perform the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy name. That is the yajna mentioned for Kali Yuga. So there is no need to perform all these various yajna. All your obligations are satisfied. All these five type of yajna we discussed. All these yajnas are already performed by performing Sankirtan Yajna. And how to purify our food? The easy way is offer everything to the Lord. And what happens when we offer the food to the Lord? It releases from sin. How it releases from sin? Everybody has heard the term jaisa ann vaisa man. You are what you eat. Right, you become what you eat. So your consciousness is based on what kind of food you eat. So if somebody eating all tamasic ahar, tamasic food, his nature also become tamasic. If somebody is eating the food in mode of goodness, his nature becomes in mode of goodness. So the food determine what kind of nature we get. So that's why it's very important to be careful about what we eat and everything to be offered to the Lord. It's very simple process. So cook everything in a proper way, in a right consciousness, and it just take 5 minutes. Put everything in the plate before you eat it for yourself. Put the plate in front of the Lord, just the picture of the Lord or the deity of the Lord, and everybody can just sit there for 10 minutes and do kirtan or just chant some prayers for Krishna, glorifying Krishna. So then everything becomes a yajna. And that food becomes the remnants of yajna. It becomes prasad. And everybody, the whole family, eat that prasad. It purifies the consciousness. Ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddho dhruva smriti. Smritir labhe sarva granthinam vipramoksha. So this is from Chandogya Upanishad, which says, ahar shuddho sattva shuddhi. If our food is purified, our existence is purified. Sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddho dhruva smriti. If our existence is purified, the finer tissues in our memory have become purified. The finer tissue develop with pure in purified memory. Smritir labhai sarva granthinam vipramoksha. Higher remembrance or higher memory, the purification of memory, all the senses become purified. Sarva granthinam vipramoksha, and one's path for liberation becomes clear. So that is the process of getting or moving towards the ultimate goal of life, to purify our consciousness, purify our existence. And that can happen only when we purify our food. So for our kids, if we really want our kids from very early age to grow in a positive way, in a Krishna conscious way, the best thing we can do is feed them prasad. Rather than having them eat junk things here and there, being influenced by their friends, their peers at school, college and all that, feed them nice prasad. To be able to feed them nice prasad, as parents, we have to cook it with proper consciousness. So cook it with proper consciousness, serve it to the Lord, everybody enjoy that prasad. That is beneficial for all. And the food has big effect on our consciousness. So Krishna described in 14th chapter and 17th chapter actually, when he discussed the three modes of material nature. So Krishna described the food in three modes. The food in mode of goodness, food in mode of passion, and the food in mode of ignorance. And what is the effect of eating the food in different modes? Let me just refer that verse. This one is 14.18 and 17.8. So first I'm going to read 17.8. Ayuh sattva balo arogya sukha priti vivardhanah rasya snigdha sthira hridya ahar sattvikah priya. Foods dear to those in mode of goodness increases the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. So that is the effect of food in mode of goodness. What is that? It increases the duration of life. It is satisfying. It gives strength, health, and happiness. Everybody needs health. Who doesn't want health? Everybody wants happiness. Everybody wants satisfaction. Everybody wants to increase their duration of life, at least to serve Krishna, to be able to serve Krishna in a proper way. Otherwise, there are so many problems getting to the body and all that. So, this is Krishna saying, that is the effect of food in mode of goodness. And once somebody is situated in the mode of goodness, what happens? Urdvagachanti sattvastha madhya tishthanti rajasah jaganya guna vritistha adogachanti tamasah. Those situated in mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in mode of passion live on earthly planets. And those in abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. So as I said, ahar shuddho sattva shuddhi, sattva shuddhi, dhruva smriti, smritir labhe, sarva granthinam vipramoksha. Once existence is purified, the memory, the fire memory grows, it leads the way to liberation. And that's what Krishna here also saying in Bhagavad Gita in an indirect way. Once who is situated in mode of goodness, he goes upward. He progresses towards liberation. Once who is situated in passion? What is passion? What is the food in passion? Too much spicy, pungent and all that. So that is food in mode of passion. What does it do? It decreases the life duration. And the people are bound. So there is a sense of passion. So people become so much passionate about something, to achieve something mundane in material world. That is passion. So people are bound in this material world on the earthly planets. And people who are in the mode of ignorance, people who eat the food in mode of ignorance, they stay in mode of ignorance. And what is the destination for mode of ignorance? They go down to the hellish planets. Now sometimes people argue, what is really in food? What is really the food in mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance? Because especially when it comes to onion garlic, people become very excited. Oh, onion garlic, how is that in mode of passion? What is the problem in eating onion garlic? This is also created by God. Poison is also created by God. Will you like to eat poison? So it's not that this Krishna has given everything, and depending on somebody's consciousness, they will choose that. Doesn't mean whatever is available, we have to taste everything and experience everything. So, Actually, in Ramayana, there is a very beautiful passage which describes the power of type of food one eats. By the type of food somebody eats, we can judge his consciousness. So when Bharat... When Bharat was going to forest to bring Lord Ram back or plead to Lord Ram to come back to Ayodhya, so when he took all his entourage, all the queens and all the citizens of Ayodhya, Guru Vashishtha and everybody, so they are going to the forest to bring Lord Ram back. And on their way, they first come to Sringerpur. So in Sringerpur, the friend of Lord Ram, Guha, so he is staying. So as soon as the whole army, the whole entourage of Bharata is approaching that Sringerpur, from far away, from his messenger, Guha gets this news. Bharat is coming and he is bringing whole army. And Guha immediately thinks, so what is Bharat's intention? Why is he coming with army? Maybe his intention is not correct. Maybe he is thinking Ram is alone in forest now. Maybe I should kill him and just clear the story forever. Rather than having the chance of him coming back after 14 years, let me just finish it off. So maybe that's his intention. So Guha was thinking in his mind like that. So and he told all his army men, get ready. Everybody, whatever weapons you have, swords and bow and arrow and whatever domestic weapons you have in the forest. So get ready with that. We will fight. We'll give up our life, but we'll not let Bharat cross with his army from this place. And at that time, one elderly person gave him suggestion. First, we should maybe try to judge what is Bharat's intention. We should not just try to misjudge him. What if we just misjudge? Let's try to find out what is his real intention. And how we can do that? So Guha asked, how can we do that? So that elderly person, he suggested, take different type of food and offer it to Bharat. And depending on what type of food he picks, we can judge his consciousness. With what intention he is coming. So Guha, he prepares three different type of food plates basically. So one preparation is all the fruits, roots and vegetables. All the food in mode of goodness. And the second one, he prepares a nice preparation, which is Khagamriga. Khagamriga is the bird, the deer. He prepares the meat of that, as in to offer it to Bharata. And then the third preparation is the food completely in mode of ignorance. And that is, he takes all the kind of burnt thing and the dead fish, which is lying for so many days. So the fish actually comes in mode of ignorance, who is stinky and contaminated after so many days of being dead in that place. So he prepared three different type of preparation to present it to Bharat. And he says if he picks the food in mode of goodness, if he picks roots and fruits, we know his consciousness is pure. He is coming with the right intention. If he picks the food in mode of passion, the Khagamriga, the dead bird and the deer skin or the deer meat, because the kings, sometimes kings used to go for hunting, the kings were in mode of passion. So they will hunt and eat that meat of the dead animal. That is mode of passion. So if he picks that food item, we know he is in passion and he is coming with wrong intention. So that is the test for Bharat. So this story also kind of signifies by the type of food somebody is accepting, we can judge his consciousness. We know where his consciousness stands. And of course, what happened? You know what happened? Guha even didn't have to present the food to Bharat. Before even presenting the food, he came to know his consciousness. How was that? As soon as Guha approached closer to Bharat, where Bharat was sitting on his chariot with Vashishtha Rishi. So as Guha came closer, from little distance he saw Vashishtha Rishi sitting there. And Vashishtha is guru of Lord Ramachandra. And he is guru of Guha also. They studied together in the Vashishtha is his ashram. So Vashishtha immediately paid Guha paid Dandavat through Vashishtha Rishi immediately from a distance. And as he came closer, he introduced, when Vashishtha asked, "Who are you?" He introduced himself, "I am friend of Lord Ram. Main Bhagwan Ram ka mitra hum." As soon as Bharat heard this, what was his reaction? He immediately jumped from his chariot, fell on the ground and paid obeisances to Guha. And Vashishtha was asking, "What are you doing? You are kind of an acting king. Why are you falling down, jumping from your chariot and falling on ground?" So he said, "That is my right position. That is the correct position for me." See, Guha, he said, "I am friend of Lord Ram." And Bharat said, "I am the servant of Lord Ram." So the friend is higher than the servant. So as a servant of Lord Ram, I should be at lower position than Guha. He is standing on the floor, standing on the ground. How can I keep sitting on the chariot? So when Bharat said that, Guha understood his consciousness. So this story, why I brought up this story is, the test for Bharat, what Guha planned, by presenting the different food items, we can see what is the consciousness of somebody. So the food affects our consciousness. So whatever, let's say if you eat the food cooked by somebody, what kind of emotions that person has while cooking the food, what kind of feeling he had while cooking the food, he or she, that feelings enter in your consciousness by eating that food. So it's not the matter of just eating outside, even vegetarian food, or eating outside even at a restaurant who may be offering to the Lord also, because you need to be careful what is his consciousness while preparing that food. So a outside restaurant, the person is preparing the food not to please the Lord, he is off preparing it to make profit. So he has that money making tendency, the money making desire, the profit desire. So all those wrong desires enter in our consciousness also and affect our consciousness. If somebody has all wrong sort of, somebody is too much in a violence mode while cooking the food. So even let's say husband wife get into fight and Mataji is cooking the food in that angry mood. So that anger gets into the food and that anger enters into everybody's consciousness. So you need to be very careful while preparing the food, because that's why I said, for the kids, the whole consciousness, it depends how we prepare the food and how we feed to the kids. So there is one very nice story. It becomes very hard to stop early and start speaking. So please forgive me. So maybe another 5-10 minutes I will try to stop. So one very nice story. Once one sadhu with his disciple, he went to somebody's house, or somebody invited him that, "Please come to my house, please accept some prasad." And the sadhu did not know who that person is or what occupation he has or what his consciousness is. So sadhu, just seeing his external humble mood, he accepted the invitation. He went to his house, he accepted the food. And after, as he was leaving from that house, after eating that nice prasad, somehow in his mind he got the desire that, "Let me take this pot, this nice shining looking pot with me." So he took that pot, put it in his jholi and went out. And this person, he did not notice. So after some time, when he went outside the skirts of that village, he immediately had that kind of bad feeling that, "Oh, I stole this pot without telling my guest, without taking his permission. I took his pot with me." So he gave it to his disciple and told him that, "I am feeling a negative in my consciousness, this aprad bodh," right? We say this sense of being guilty of stealing from somebody's house. "So I am feeling that guilty sensation, guilty feeling. So you take this and go back to our guest house and give it to him. Tell him by mistake my guru, he put it in bag." So as he went back, so first of all his disciple was surprised. "How come my guru do that? He's such a purified consciousness, elevated personality. How can he steal from somebody's house? And then he went back, he gave it to the person, and the person told actually that when you left, I ate the remnants of your guru's prasad. So whatever your guru had eaten, there was some remnant, I ate that remnant. And after I ate that remnant, something happened, my consciousness, I'm feeling so much guilty about my, what kind of activities I do. Actually, I did not tell, I used to steal from others' houses, and this is how I accumulated this wealth. And I still have that tendency. But as I ate that remnant of your guru, my consciousness seems to be becoming purified. I feel like giving up my occupation of stealing. So what happened to that person? He ate the remnant of spiritually elevated personality. His consciousness became purified. But the sadhu ate the food prepared by that person who has the consciousness to steal. So all that emotions or that feelings of stealing entered into his consciousness. But soon it was eradicated because of his spiritual consciousness. It did not stay for long. The point of this story, what I am saying is, the food we eat, the way somebody has prepared that food, with whatever consciousness somebody has prepared that food, that enters into the food. And while eating that food, that consciousness, that feeling entered into our consciousness and affects that. So that's why, again and again, I'm stressing on this point. We should be very careful how we prepare the food to offer it to the Lord. So first of all, we should offer it to the Lord. And to offer to the Lord also, we should be very careful with what consciousness we prepare. Are we preparing it with the consciousness to enjoy ourselves? Or are we preparing it with the consciousness to serve it to the Lord? Offer it to the Lord without any negative feelings, negative tendencies. And now the question comes, another very popular question. Krishna can accept anything. So what is the problem offering onion garlic things also to Krishna? See, Krishna is purified of all pure. He is so pure, he is not concerned or worried about what we offer to him. We can offer anything to him. Yes, we can offer anything, but we should offer what he asks from us. If some guests come to your house, you prepare the food to his liking, his, her liking. You don't force him what you like. Is it or not? So if some guest is coming to your house, you will ask, what are your favorites? So we'll try to make those favorites. So Rakesh Prabhu came here to his sasural, his in-law's house. So of course mother-in-law will ask, or mother-in-law will know what is his favorite. And she will try to make his favorites. Not like, okay, I like to eat this, so I will force him to eat that only. So once one, or let's say somebody came to your house. So some Prabhuji came to your house. He said, oh, I came far from far. It's so hot outside and I'm thirsty. Please give me water. And you said, no, Prabhuji, why water? We'll give you pure ghee. You drink ghee. No, I'm so thirsty. I just need water. No. See, water is 10 rupee bottle. $1 bottle. Ghee is $20 per pound. Pure ghee. So we'll give you pure ghee. Take that. Will that be happy? So you give him what he really wants. So same way to Krishna, if we really want to please Krishna, we offer to Krishna what he really likes. And Krishna clearly says what he likes. Patram pushpam phalam toyam jo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upaharitam ashnami priyatatmanah. So Krishna is not looking at your opulent offerings. Krishna is looking at your feelings. He is bhavagrahi. Bhavagrahi means he wants your feeling of love and devotion. And another verse Krishna says, yat karoshi yat asnasi yat yihosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give away, whatever austerities you perform, do that as an offering to me. So that is the yajna. Right? That is the yajna. So you offer it to Krishna, make prayers to Krishna that please accept this food, even though everything is given by you. I am offering it back to you as an acknowledgement that you are providing all these gifts to us. So then it becomes yajna. And that food becomes sanctified food. It becomes prasad. Yajna shashtina ashino. Yajna shashta ashino. So, that's why it's very important. So, two main things. Chanting of the holy name, Sankirtan Yajna. Right? So, performing Sankirtan Yajna in your day-to-day life, engaging in the chanting of holy name. And the second thing is, eating prasad. Eating the food offered to the Lord. For chanting, somebody may resist. See, I don't have time. 10 minutes, too much. I don't have time. No time at all. But can somebody say, I don't have time to eat? Can somebody say, no, I cannot eat all my life, all my whole day? Everybody is going to eat, for sure. So at least, eat the food offered to the Lord. Make that as a yajna. So, two main activities for us in Kali Yuga, which is strongly recommended. The chanting of holy name and offering the food to the Lord. And if we just perform this yajna, there is no other obligation. All other obligations are already satisfied. And both these activities happen with the use of tongue. How? So chanting of holy name, you use your tongue, vibration, right? You use your tongue to chant the holy name, to eat the food, to taste the food, you need tongue. So once this tongue is purified, all the other senses are purified, because the tongue is the most voracious of all the senses. That's why we sing that prayer for Prasadam prayer. Taro madhe jivhati. Jibha is ati. It's very difficult to control. So if we can control the tongue, if we can satisfy or purify the tongue, all other senses become purified. So there is another verse which says, it's very hard to understand Krishna. But if we engage in service of Krishna, utilizing our tongue, then Krishna Himself reveals to us. Know what is that verse? Mataji, you're not remembering that verse? Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grahyam Indriya Sevan Mukhe Hi Jibha Dhao Savyam Ev Spruhate Yadha. So it's very hard to understand Krishna. But when we engage our tongue in service of Krishna, He Himself reveals to us. Savyam eva spruhate adaha. And that service of tongue is vibrate and taste. So just engage in these two activity. That is the yajna we can perform.
Which chapter is it?
Chapter 3, text 12 and 13. Okay, that particular verse? No, this is not from Bhagavad Gita. That is from one Upanishad.
Nectar of devotion.
It's a nectar of devotion also. It's referred from somewhere. So, we'll stop here. My humble request to everybody to engage in these two activities. If somebody is not engaging in the chanting of holy name, I know everybody is engaging in eating. We just need to switch that consciousness. Make sure you offer it to the Lord. Whatever you cook, cook with purified consciousness, with purified ingredients. Offer it to the Lord and enjoy prasad. You can cook opulent offerings. You can cook whatever you like, samosa, kachori, pizza, all that. But offer it to Lord and then accept the prasad. And the other activity is, if somebody still is not chanting the holy name, please, at least chant one round. Takes only 7 to 8, maximum 10 minutes, let's say, for beginning, if somebody is chanting too slow. So 10 minutes in your 24 hours, it's nothing. So you can consider that as a reciprocation to Krishna for giving you 24 hours in a day. You are giving Him back 10 minutes at least as acknowledgement. as a return gift. So it's a birthday today. So in birthday, people bring gift, and sometime people have the concept of return gift. So even that return gift concept, don't we have this return gift concept with the Supreme Lord for giving us all these various gifts in the nature? So thank you very much. We'll stop here. If anybody has any comment or any question, please feel free to ask. There are many devotees who can answer your questions.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody? Any question, comment? So everybody is ready to do these two activities for sure. Who has challenge? I will not say problem, or who has challenge in following these two activities? Anybody has challenge? You have challenge following these two?
When I go outside.
When you go outside. Good point. So please elaborate.
Traveling.
When we go outside.
Outside means?
Prasadam. Like in travel.
Okay.
Outside. Eating prasadam is very difficult. Getting prasadam.
So traveling outside, now it depends for how long we are going. Of course, there is a different levels to solve that problem. If we are traveling for few days, couple of days, 2-3 days, there is a provision you can cook for those two, three days. You can plan well in ahead of time that, okay, 2-3 days I'm going out of town. So you can plan your travel. You can take some food with you, or you can, there is always options of fruits and vegetables, nuts and some, at least granola bars or something to carry, those kind of things. Sometimes people complain. So that is when you're traveling for a few days. But sometimes people even complain, oh, when I go to some birthday party, some office lunch or something, how do I manage? I have to eat outside. So what is the solution for that? Prabhu, what do you do in that situation?
Today I have a fast.
Today you have a fast. See, that's an easy answer. Nobody is going to mind. So you go out. Let's say you are going for your office lunch, some get together, right, lunch party, and everybody is ordering something. So rather than saying, oh, I cannot come, you can do that also sometime, but if you do every time, then people may mind. So you go with them, associate with them, but you can just deny and ordering anything. You can say, oh, I'm fasting today, so I cannot eat, I will just take some juice. Or at the most, you can just take some juice or maybe some salad. And then in your mind, you can offer it to Krishna. So for me personally, what I have been doing. So in the beginning, actually, I carried my lunch also with me. I carried my lunchbox also with me. When with the group, we went outside. And I told the hotel guy, see, these 10 people are ordering. Do you mind if one person doesn't order and eat his own food? They don't mind. So that is one option. So another option is just take some juice or some salad. So avoid any cooked items. Salad is okay. It's a raw item, right? So you just offer it to Lord and eat it. And some birthday parties. So kids, let's say from kids' point of view. So kids go to birthday party and they are tempted with pizza and cake and everything. So somebody asked this question actually. This question is very popular. Everywhere somebody is talking on this particular topic. This question's come up. How we handle that scenario. So somebody said, before going out, if somebody invited you to some party or something, before going out, eat enough. So you're not hungry. You're not tempted by that. If you're hungry, you're tempted. But if you're full, no matter how opulent the food is, you're not tempted. So before going out, eat nicely.
But when kids eat in the schools in the lunch time, we don't have any control on them. So, but they also don't know what is the difference between kids. They don't know kids, right?
So kids, yes, very small kids, true. As kids grow up, slowly we have to basically make them aware of this thing, cultivate that kid, what is wrong in this or that, right? It comes slowly. So we cannot force the kids. Prabhupada said no forcing the kid. So once in a while, if they eat outside, at least make them aware that what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. Meat, eggs and all that, of course, not acceptable, right? They can eat the regular stuff if they really want to or something. So there are different level of handling these things. So, but thank you for bringing up this point. Anybody has any other comment or question? Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.